Alexis Avery Touch.
Let's talk about workforce development.
Alexis Avery Rush.
You're invited to the number one event with Alexis LeBroy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Alexis LeBroy, and you are here for another Alexis Avery Talk. Thanks for joining us. It's been a while. I feel like this is the fall season of Alexis Avery Talk. It's been a while. So really happy that you have joined us. And we're going to be talking to a great guest today. Amber Pollitt is my guest today. And I'm really happy to have her here. And Amber, will you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Amber Pollitt. I'm a photographer and camera operator. New to the field. I started mainly in church, and I got excited about all the gear and technology and AV, and that's what led me down this path. So excited to be here, Alexis. I've been actually introduced to you from Rave and from listening to you on the podcast, so it's so surreal to like actually be a guest. So I'm a gear coordinator at LiveX, a production company that focuses on streaming, events, productions, anything that's going on in New York City and abroad, we are there. I pretty much help organize the production, QRQC, all the gear, RMAs, test everything. I have my hands all dirty with all the equipment. So it's hard work, but it's pretty fun. It's really satisfying.
That's good. That's good. So Amber, you reached out to me on LinkedIn, and we've had some conversations since then, just, you know, getting to know you and just comparing notes. And so I was like, okay, well, I need to bring Amber onto the show, and we should talk, you know, not formally, but we should talk, have a conversation about being in the industry and what it means. I've been in the industry for a little while, so I'm jaded about a few things, but you're relatively new to the industry. So I can see all the stars in your eyes and all the opportunity, and I'm excited to talk to you. So you have been working as a camera operator, as a photographer. You have your hands in a lot of different things that you're working on. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to know about is what is some of the cool technology that you use in your camera work and your being a filmmaker and a photographer? What's some of the cool technology that you use?
I like there's this thing called an Atoma Shogun, Atoma's Flame. So it's pretty much an external monitor that you could use to see like color and graphics really well on high res and low res and 4K on your camera. So I think that's pretty cool. And I get to work with that because of my job. So yeah, the Blackmagic Micro Studio cameras are really, really cool. And just personally, I'm trying to think about what I'm like, oh my gosh, super surprised. I think fiber optics is fascinating. Like that's something I'll never, like completely, just like the fact that we thought about how to make that, like, is just beyond me. I feel super like taken back by that. And now I think there's fiber air that's coming out. They're like Google or Amazon. I could be wrong, but I definitely saw like a headline with that, but I clicked the article because it was super late at night. Should have been sleeping, but fiber is definitely something I'm just like, whoa, this is very cool.
I just feel like it brings everything closer, you know, things that were too far apart before. It just brings it closer. It's faster. Lots of opportunities with fiber.
And it's light through zeros and ones.
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have a coworker. who is an engineer, and I always bother them about it. It's just like, can you believe it? They're like, we told you already. I'm like, I know, but like, it's really cool. It's just like, whoa, this is so fascinating.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's something that I really think is really cool.
So Amber, you said that you work at LiveX and that you're a gear coordinator there. And that you've got your hands on all of the gear, you know, making the shows happen. So can you talk a little bit more about what you do there and what are some of the cool shows that you've had an opportunity to work on?
Right. Thank you. So day to day, I'm usually packing equipment, making the gear list, helping the production pack and prepare for a show. And then when it comes back, I QRQC all the gear. I order new equipment if I see that production needs it. I'm also the main point of contact with our database system called IntelliEvent, which we use to track all of our equipment, making sure that everything is barcoded, we know where things are, being really responsible for the moving parts of the gear and moving parts of equipment that we have. And just keeping a working memory of like, and also writing things down of where things are. We also rent out equipment. So that's like another piece of responsibility that I have too. And sometimes I'm able to go on shows, which is really cool. We did Times Square Alliance, had yoga in Times Square, which is really cool this summer. Every year they do it. And so people are just like in Times Square doing yoga. It's the strangest thing, but it's very cool. So I was a production assistant for that. So that was just like a really cool job that I had actually gone on location for. And sometimes we have jobs in our studio. So yeah, it's been a really cool experience. And LiveX does New Year's every single year. So I'm looking forward to that, being a part of streaming that and being on the field.
It's, you know, I can only imagine the difference in a production like New Year's and what it looked like pre-COVID and what it's looked like during COVID, you know, and any show for that matter, you know, just some of the things that we've had to do to adjust and, you know, with the studios in our shops and, you know, bringing people in versus going out as much, you know, so lots of different scenarios that have popped up that we've had to kind of adjust to and make them work, right?
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that there's new cameras that Logitech just launched a camera, a 4K camera that you could just put on your laptop. It's really cool. It has all these different specs and focal lengths. But everyone's adjusting. I mean, it's all the technology. Zoom's gotten better with their breakout rooms and webinars and just seeing that. It's just pretty impressive. So everyone's trying to find better solutions to make it seamless to just do everything online.
Right.
If we're here again.
Right. Hopefully we won't be. You know, I guess if we are, we'll be okay. We've had time to figure it out and adjust at this point. To how to make it work. Well, one of the things that I like to talk about on this show, and I actually just wrote a blog for Rave about internships and bringing young people into the audiovisual industry and into tech industries. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is, as a young person in the industry, what were some of the things you mentioned church? What were some of the things that brought you to this industry? And did you do any internships at the beginning?
That's a great question. I feel like I fell into this like everyone else. Like, oh, this is an industry. I'm like, dang, that's not so cliche, but it was definitely really at the beginning of COVID that I decided that I wanted to get into this field. I was an equipment specialist at CUNY. And so I was doing similar work, but at a more structured and just a school. So it was like kind of the same every semester. So then I got laid off and then I was like, I really like technology. I want to get into it. This is the future. Like, this is something that interests me. But then I took a Google IT course and I realized that I don't really know if this specific way is what I want to do. And so I learned about AV and checked out Avix's website. but it was the pandemic, so I couldn't shadow anybody in this industry. I'm just like a kind of I'm a person who needs to have an example to learn. I can't just learn online. I did summer school online. It wasn't for me, but yeah. So that was the challenging part. It was really just trying to get into this industry. I listened to Rave. I listened to all the podcasts. Like, how do you get in here? And it's just so convoluted. I didn't know. I just feel like a lot of people just came from different areas. Like, some people came from sound engineering, some people came from camera operators, a lot of people came from theater, and it didn't seem like a straightforward path. So I was just like, okay, I'm not alone. I got a lot of validation from other people that I kind of had like an interview with during COVID, like a sit down informational interview. I'm like, yeah, you have experience. Like, you are doing audio and visual technology. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But
You're
then
already in the industry. You didn't even
yeah,
know.
it was very much imposter syndrome-y. Like, oh, I am doing this thing, but I thought that I needed like a stamp of approval or a stamp of like a certification or something like that. So that's been my, I guess, emotional experience throughout everything. But definitely just talking to other people has been helpful and reaching out. I think that the pandemic has made it easier and less pressure to just reach out to people when you want to know, when you want to learn something versus because everyone's online. We're all online. We're all like looking at movies. We're all like looking at something online. So now it's a good excuse to just like talk to people. Yeah, that's just been my, and then talking to people about where they started helped me. Like, where did you start? I know you're here doing this cool stuff, but where did you start? So yeah, that's been my first question about like, how did you get into here? Because I don't really know. I don't think there's a right way or there's one way. But yeah, so my internships, that was a long answer, but my internships were mainly video and editing, like filming, editing. Yeah, mainly that. My degree was in journalism and media studies. So I wanted to be a journalist because that's what I learned. But it wasn't really like, after I left my senior year, I was more interested in film and camera operating. And then I was like, well, I don't really want to go to film school. And then I tried to get more experience with camera operator. And then I volunteered at my church and then got really good at it and felt more comfortable and confident, built my way up to being terrified of just being on the switchboard, TDing, and then being like, yeah, I got this. This live stuff is really exciting. Like, my adrenaline got pumped up, it's live. You just got to call the shots, you're in charge. And I was like, yeah, this is more my speed. And then I was like, how do I like make this into a career? And that's when that question popped up, like, how do I do this for a very long time? And that's when the exploration came about, because I
That's
didn't have
great.
the language for what it was, but yeah. Yeah, I was like, how do I do this?
That's
Yeah.
great. It's great to know that because, we need to understand what are some of those barriers to entry. And if one of the barriers to entry is that you just don't have the language to even know what it is you want to do, we just have more work to do, right? We need to be able to talk to younger people when they're in high school, talk to people to younger people in middle school. It's like this exposure thing, and that's partly what it is that I try to do, is exposure to what this career could look like for you, and yeah, a lot of us have fallen into this. I came from working in a theater in college, and I needed a job, and so my first job after caught my first full-time job after college was working in the hotels in AV, doing conferences and events. And so that's just the path that I took. But something that you said about something that you said earlier kind of stuck with me. And having a journalism degree is that In AV, the way that I was taught is the point of what we do is to communicate to, in live events, that it was to communicate to attendees. It was to communicate, overall, audiovisual is there in place to help people communicate their message to whoever is on the receiving end, to their stakeholders, to the attendees, to the participants, to whoever's going to be on the far end of that meeting or that call, is to communicate a message. So I would think that you are in a very good place having a journalism degree to be able to help people tell their stories.
Yeah, I think that thanks for making that connection. I never thought about it like that. I still hold that to myself. I still try to make side films, short films, which I'm trying to do right now, to tell stories, because everyone has such an interesting story, and people who especially are underrepresented in all different facets of life. It's such like good stories, and like you are intrigued by movies or films. You're like, I never heard that before. So yeah, I definitely try to do that in other areas of my life if I'm not able to do it at the job that I'm working at. Yeah, I do think that. Yeah, I do agree with what you're saying. Like that, it is like not something that is as exposed. I think technology in general, like coding, engineering, have these like very flashy names of like very well career paths and very well, I guess very well developed. Like you just go into this linear thing and you follow this path and then you're there. And then AV is not always that simple. It's not always that straightforward.
Yeah, you could talk to 10 people and they have maybe 10 different stories about how they got here. It's a little crazy.
It is. The
Yeah, just
challenging part is making your resume, it's making the resume seem like it's not crazy.
I never thought about
Yeah,
that.
that was the challenging part of like trying to get in. It's like, well, I did this and that, and I'm like, it's not really that much tech, but I have these skills, and like kind of selling yourself into the industry of like pitching, not selling yourself, but pitching like who you are into the industry and someone like giving you a chance. Because once you, I feel like one from what I've heard, once you get in to that first like tech slash AV streaming, anything in production where it's AV and it's like official, like the company or organization you're working for is standing by that. I think that then it's, I don't know if it's easier, but then it's like a smoother transition. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. It's maybe that's the same in every industry though. Getting your foot in the door, and then once you get in, it's what do you do with it from there, you know? So, and maybe that's every industry, not just AV. What has it been like for you as a new person in the industry, as a woman in the industry? You know, what has it been like? Have you had any issues? Has it been easy? Has it been hard? Has it been challenging? You mentioned that you had some imposter syndrome for a little bit, and I think a lot of us go through that, and myself included.
Yeah, I do remember you wrote an article about that, and I was like, she has imposter syndrome. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think so. We all do. It's been a little bit. Yeah, I had that bad when I first got into the industry. Where do I start? So let's see. I felt a little bit isolated. Like, okay, I didn't have all these wonderful experiences when I was like 22, 20. I didn't really know what I was doing. So there's that. And then I came to the conclusion of like, okay, we're all in this room. We're all in AV from different backgrounds. So I got to focus on the right now and like what I want to do next. But it's been challenging because I look around and I don't see enough people who look like me. And then I'm like, what's wrong? Like, I know there's some smart women out there who like are persons of color who can do this, but there's something in hiring, I think, that There's implicit bias, of course, that we all know. And then there's also like why there's also like the lack of like I said before, like not knowing the language or not knowing the possibilities. Because I think after I was a camera operator at my church, like a lot of people started joining. I don't know if it was because I was there, but I was present. And then we started growing. But I do think that you have to see yourself in the industry, see yourself in whatever you're doing too. You have to see the reference. Because if I see another Black woman who's Avian, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm clicking to you like a magnet. I'm like, what are you doing for lunch? How'd you do this and that? So yeah, I had a mentor who's also an AV, but it's different when she has a lot of people to look after, to look, you know, to look to, but then you don't. So, and then it brings up the question, other bigger questions about race and other bigger things. And you don't always want to be that person to bring that up. I don't know, I don't always want to be that person to bring it up, but it does need to be talked about. Yeah, and yeah, it's just I think when there's a lack of representation, it does make me question. It did make me question, and sometimes it does make me question of like, should I be doing this? I guess that's the doubt.
That creeps in a little bit. It's, you hear the phrase representation matters, and it does sound cliche at this point, especially after these last several months, this past year. But it does matter. And when you see somebody who looks like you, who is a doctor or a lawyer, or an engineer, that makes you think, oh wow, maybe that's something that I can be, you know? And so I think that it does matter, and I think that it helps to build a narrative. I think it helps to tell a story for a young person, a young girl, a young boy who doesn't know anybody who does this. It's so funny. A few years ago, I guess now, my nephew was in town with his family for spring break, my brother and his wife and my two nephews. And the older nephew, he came with me to a regional AV industry trade show. And I was so excited that he came with me. And we just walked
That
around
sounds
and we
cool.
introduced everybody. And, he had on his crisp white shirt. And, it just felt good, that he was even remotely interested in hanging out with me, with Auntie, for the day. But to be able to walk around and introduce him to people and let him look at the technology and, have him be able to touch it and, it was cool. And I think that those are the kinds of things that we can do as an industry to reach back and pull somebody up with us. So talking to, like I said earlier, talking to young people, making sure that they see that there are Black women in this industry, that this is a viable industry for them, and that you can have a career. We're here, and I don't know about you, but most techie people like us, we don't want to be out front. We don't want to be on a show, but it's one of those things, that I push myself. I don't do it as often as I'd like to because it's weird for me. But you push yourself and you're like, okay, somebody's going to see this and they're going to get the idea that they can be here too.
Right.
That's why I wanted you to be here. That's why I wanted you to be here. I was like, somebody
Definitely.
is going to see Amber and they're going to go, I want to do what she's doing. She's amazing.
Thank you. I think you're amazing and you're doing this and you didn't think you would be able to do it, and you're doing this now. And look at that. You're in front of the camera. It's true. We do have to push ourselves. I'm actually LiveX has a YouTube channel and we do unboxing videos of all the new equipment we have. And so if you go on the YouTube page, I'm there unboxing some Blackmagic Design products. So that
I
was
will be
nerve-wracking.
looking. It was nerve. Well, see, you're the person usually behind the camera. You're the
Exactly,
filmmaker, you're
yeah.
the editor, you're putting it
So
together, so that makes sense to me.
yeah, but I'm not usually in front. So no, I was in front of the camera. I was just like, oh, I was all mic'd up, and I was like, I had to do the take like five, six times, and like, you can't say this. Like it was like, okay, anchors have it. It's, I have respect for them. You gotta give, you gotta enunciate your words, and like, I said, enunciate your words, and like, and like, not laugh randomly or like, one time, spitting racks in it. But yeah, so
Yeah, those are accidents.
yeah,
Yeah, you don't
those
want
are
to do that on
accidents. So many
camera.
takes by accident. Yeah, but it was fun though. It was fun. To represent the company and to do the unboxings and to be in front of camera and just know that, like, okay, you could do this.
Yeah, great. Well, we talked about you being a filmmaker. I looked at some of your videos and I was just blown away. The yellow film, it reminded me of Beyonce's movie that she just did, in Africa. That's what it reminded me of. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I love it.
Thank you. I had a friend, Mili, who was a director of that Yellow. Her vision was really cool. So yeah, it was like a collaboration of like so many different artists. But I was really blessed to be a part of that. It was really cool. I used like a gimbal for the first time on my camera. Yeah, it was like to take poetry and words together. And I also worked on like something very similar called the Creative Garden with one of my friends, Chelsea. Who took her poems of sort of going through a lot of pressure of moving to New York, and I just followed her life in New York City and like through a series of different poems. So yeah, that was really fun. It's really nice to do narratives, and I think I've only worked with women of color. I just noticed that. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that's what I know. So, but it's cool.
Well, I'm definitely going to put a link to your videos in the description so people can check them out, because I just think they're, I just think it's artfully done, it's creative, really, really pretty. Hearing on your video on the Creative Garden with your friend, she's finding herself, she's trying to figure out what is going on, how do I do this, and I think that, I just think that speaks to so many people, but they just don't say it out loud.
Yeah, definitely. Just like we said with imposter syndrome too. There's like so many different forms that talk about it, but it's just like I think sometimes you feel all of that because you're not able to talk about it, or you're afraid of if you talk about it a certain way, you're going to be looked differently. But I think that just comes from, I don't know if it's just not being able to fit in and not thinking you're fit in and not thinking that you belong. And like, it's so much pressure. It's so much
Yeah,
pressure.
it is. I mean, there's pressure to succeed all the way around, right? And then I have gotten to the point in my life that I don't know everything, and it's just not, I am never going to know everything. So, when it comes to something where I need help, I just, at this point, I just ask for help. I probably ask for help too much at this point, but I don't care because I want it to be right. I want my customers to be taken care of. And if it means, one extra email to our audio support group or to our video support group, where they just say, oh yeah, that looks good. What you have on there is fine. Or no, you need to add this, this, or this. That is an extra step that's worth it, because I don't want something to happen that, the customers to get something that is not what they want.
Yeah, I agree. At my job now, I've had moments where I didn't ask for help, and it was just like I should have just asked for help. I just made a mess. So, and then like in my past too, like just ask for help. But then I just, yeah, I have no problem asking for help now. And I also have learned to say no when I'm just like at capacity, because I'm like, I don't want to feel overwhelmed. So I think that's also a skill that is, especially if you're like slightly people pleaser, it's just like you want to be good at everything and you want to do your best, but like you have to say no. And that's been like a hard lesson to learn, but definitely beneficial, because I'm not extremely burnt out, but I have to say no. Okay, I have to say no.
I think you could do a class on that alone, Amber, because
Yes, yeah.
people, we have trouble with the
Yes, one of my good friends told me that if you're saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else. And I was like, okay, that makes me feel a little
no thing. All right, I like
bit
that.
better. I know, I like that too, right? It's like, okay, I really want to go out, but I'm saying no because I'm saying yes to sleeping
Right. And so you can be better tomorrow and get all the things that you
Yeah.
need to get done. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, okay, I'm saying yes to this thing. So that'll
I
take the
like it.
ease off if anyone, learn something from this conversation.
They
It's been, yeah,
know.
they know. You could
Okay.
say no.
So we're about to wrap up. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want people to know about you, that you're passionate about, or that you're excited about, or that you're going to be working on next?
Yes, so there's this project that's been looming over my head. I have eczema and dermatitis specifically. So I'm working to create a channel and a space online for women who have skin disorders so they can feel not alone and feel beautiful and loved. It's just something that I've had a challenge with my entire life. So I definitely want to create a space for women who just have all different types of skin disorders to know that. They're beautiful, and I do want to work on currently trying to work on a photo book for these women that I'm reaching out to. So if you are a woman who has skin condition that you want to be photographed or just your story to be told, please follow me on Instagram at Amber P Visuals. So yeah, that's something that I'm like passionate about.
That's great. I was looking, I did not see the Savage X Fenty fashion
Oh,
show yet.
yeah.
But I was looking at, somehow it popped up on my Facebook to look at, it was a sale or something. So I was looking at some of the different products on there, the clothing on there. And there are women and men that are all different shapes, that have all different complexions, that have different skin disorder. It's amazing. It is so inclusive that, I've heard about it and I've seen some videos online and stuff, but I've never watched a fashion show all the way through. But it was so inspiring. So it makes me think of that when you say that that's your next project, because, I think that there is an audience for people who want to hear and see truth. This is real life. We have
Yeah.
been through some stuff. So let's just talk about real life at this point.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. The project's called No Shame Skin. So let's not have shame about the skin
Good.
we're in. Yeah, so that's something that it's very personal. It's taking me forever to like, when something's like so close to you, it's just like, okay, you really gotta put yourself out there. So yeah,
Yeah.
that's just my baby of a project. But that's something that I'm trying to work on. Yeah, I love Rihanna. She definitely pushed the bar for inclusivity of different shades, different people. She's just doing amazing things. Shout
Yeah,
out to her.
younger,
I didn't see, I'm
older.
gonna see that today.
Yeah, it, I mean, I have to see it over the weekend. Yeah, exactly. Well, Amber, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it. You gave your Instagram. Can you give that again? Just tell people how they can reach you.
You can reach me at Amber P Visuals on Instagram. You can follow No Shame Skin on YouTube, noshadeskin@gmail.com too. If you have any inquiries, if you want to share your story about your skin condition, please let me know. I'm very interested in telling your story.
Great. I may have to send you a picture from back in
Yeah.
the day. Great. Well, thank you again for being here. I really appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for joining us for the show today. And I'll have links to Amber's films, her short films that she's produced and that she's edited and that she's filmed. I'll have links for those in the description as well so you can check it out. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Alexis Avi Touch.
Let's talk about workforce development.
Alexis Avi Rush.
You're invited to the number one event with Alexis Love.